is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, it's Monday, another sleepy week in Washington. I'm sure it'll be very dull again this week, like it has been for 6 months. Just sleepy and nothing much to talk about. Donald Trump already out this morning. His first tweet, drain the swamp, should be changed to drain the sewer. It's actually much worse than anyone ever thought, and it begins with the fake news. His second tweet of the day, after 1 year of investigation with zero evidence being found, Chuck Schumer just stated that Democrats should blame ourselves, not Russia. So this is just the beginning of, as we end up into month number seven here, it continues at a rapid pace. My next guest, Melissa Francis, covering it up front for Fox Business Network, also the author of The Surprising Secrets to Happiness, Success, and Sometimes Just Survival, she learned on America's Favorite Show. Melissa, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. And you know what? I was just listening to your show coming in, and the fake news media, I mean, I write about this in Lessons from the Prairie, and I had a firsthand glimpse of this myself when I used to work for CNBC way back in 2008. I was trying to tell people that the math on Obamacare didn't add up, and CNBC dragged me in, and they said, basically, shut up, that I was disrespecting the office of the president by questioning the math behind Obamacare. Now, I have a degree in economics from Harvard, but you just need a first-grade education to understand that if you add a whole bunch more people to the roles of health care and you don't make people pay for pre-existing conditions and then you give away health care for free to a ton of people, the taxpayers and the people who are actually paying for it are going to end up paying more. But instead, President Obama was saying, oh, no, no, your family's health care cost is going to go down by $1,250 per year. I knew that wasn't true.
Wasn't possible.
And
you know, but
I told to stop saying it.
The problem is
news media. Yeah, go ahead.
You have an unfair advantage, Melissa, because you understand basic math and you can apply basic mathematics to, you know, a problem, a story problem in this case. But the story is, if you add all of these people and expect the price to go down, that's absurd. And it was then. The proposition was absurd then. It's absurd now.
Yeah, no, they said we're going to bend the cost curve. I'm like, what is that? Wait, I don't understand. Like, you're making zero on everything, but you make it up on volume, you know? No. These things don't exist. It's snake oil salesmen. But even back then, I mean, this was before President Trump really seized upon the idea that these people who were quote-unquote journalists who acted like they were playing it straight, they were just hiding their bias. And in Lessons from the Prairie, I pose this idea, which is that everybody brings to the table a certain point of view. If you don't have an opinion on politics and what you're covering, you're either brain dead or you don't care. You're not engaged. Either way, why in the world are you then covering Washington? Inherently, everyone has a point of view, and you need to own it up front, let people know where you're coming from, and then try and cover the news in an unbiased way, but at least you're being honest with the audience and they can decide. I myself think that the government screws up almost every single thing it touches. I think when they get involved,
Agreed.
Things get worse. We only need the government for national defense, policing, a few things, not much else. Everything else, they do a terrible job deciding what's right for me and my family, and they're a horrible steward of my taxpayer dollars.
So my I could not possibly agree more.
My readers know this about me. Then you can decide, when I push someone from the left or I push someone from the right, am I being fair? What do you think about that?
Well, I agree with you. I couldn't agree with you much more. How do you think Milton Friedman would look at all of this today if he were still here? I mean, honestly, I enjoyed his character that he was and the way that he would just get that little smile on his face and go, well, you're just wrong. You have no idea what you're talking about. You're just f- foolish and your argument is wrong. We need somebody like that today to connect with Americans. They could say the government is a terrible use of your resources. It's terribly inefficient. The government does two things well. They build big machines to kill people, and they do that very well. And they build, armies, and that's what they do well. And common defense is one of the things that they're, instructed to do under the Constitution. Right. That's what they're very good at. Beyond that, they don't manage money well. If you want government-run health care, look at the VA. If you want to see how they do with your money, look at the $20 trillion in debt. And it's guilt on both sides, Melissa. It's not just the left. It's right as well, because multinationals now are dictating. There is no commodities market. You know this. You work for Fox Business. The commodities markets have been destroyed by multinationals that own a commodity in America and Mexico and Brazil. They control the entire worldwide market of certain things. So supply and demand has been removed from the equation because of multinationals in a dance with the government. Am I right or wrong about that?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, you're right about all of these things. And it's just incredible to me that people want to turn over more of their power to the government. You mentioned Milton Friedman, and I remember a very famous story about him being in China, and they pointed, to everybody on the side of the road working on some sort of project, and the government said, see, we pay them to work, and then everybody has a job, and then they all have money, and this is why socialism works. And he looked at the people on the side of the road, and he said, well, then why don't you give them spoons to dig instead of shovels? Wouldn't that make it even more true? And the absurdity of that really illustrates the point that inefficiency serves no one. I mean, when you have productivity, why have front loaders then? Why have big diggers that give everybody a spoon then if your theory works so well?
Exactly.
Inefficiency drags down the whole entire economy. I mean, it doesn't help anyone. When we're more productive, then as a nation, we build more things, more people buy them, we do better overall. I'd say President Trump is having an incredibly difficult time draining the swamp. I mean, it's amazing, it's staggering. Anthony Scaramucci is a good friend. I've known him forever. I covered him when he was in finance before he ever got into media. Then we were together at CNBC, and then he came over to Fox Business. And what's going to be different about him, I can tell you from the front row and knowing all the players, what's going to be different about this is that he's very smart and he's incredibly tough, but he's also disarming. He has a great way, and you saw it in the very first press conference he did. I was live on Fox News Channel when he came out and he did that first thing last week.
Right.
And what he does is he takes the bite out of all those reporters' bark. And there's something to that. Sean Spicer was great, but he was very adversarial, and he didn't try and put any charm on it.
No, Sean was in over his head. He was in over his head from the beginning, and from the time he stood behind the podium that was a foot and a half too tall, and he looked like an angry midget, that was probably not a good start. I'm sorry, but he looked like a garden gnome gone wrong, and and that's just the way he looked, and he never recovered. Am I wrong? No, I'm not wrong.
No, he never recovered from that, but it's kind of like I always say, being on the media side, I always say to my husband's in finance, and I'm like, if the journalists ever show up, and they want to do some sort of expose, offer them warm cookies, and you've totally distracted them.
Exactly.
And Anthony Scaramucci is a little bit like that. He's got a bunch of warm cookies for everybody, and you try to stay angry, but then he distracts that pack of wolves that's in front of him. But, it's astonishing to me.
Melissa, hold that thought right there. Hold that thought right there, because I want you to give a little quick plug for your book, but we had to hit a hard break here. Hold 1 second. We'll be back to talk about Melissa Francis's book, Lessons from the Prairie, right after this.